Hello and welcome to another episode of the Dads on the Fly podcast. I'm Caleb Simmons.
And I'm Joshua Simmons. We are two brothers who love fly fishing, our families, and are men of faith. But like most of you listening, we're still not experts on any of those subjects.
So our hope is to speak with as many people that we believe are experts on these subjects and pose the questions that most of us are asking.
So thanks for joining us along the journey as we seek to inspire and encourage dads and anglers as we wade through fishing, fatherhood, and faith on the fly.
Well, hey everyone, and welcome to episode 101 of the Dads on the Fly podcast. I am Caleb Simmons alongside my brother Joshua. Joshua, how are you, man?
Doing great, man. 101. We want to remind everyone, if you haven't had a chance yet, go back and listen to episode 100 because the giveaway, the Dads on the Fly big 100 episode celebration giveaway is still going on, and it goes on for one more week from today. And you can win a turtle box. You could win... Help me out, remember everything. It's got an Adramas fly tying tools.
Yeah, you can win some A-Flyco tools. You could win some money towards a catch cam net. You can win a membership, a year-long membership to Trout Route. So a lot of great things.
And Angler's Coffee.
And some Angler's Coffee. So yeah, lots of great stuff. We want to give a big shout out to our sponsors for helping make this giveaway happen. And yeah, man, really excited. But the cool thing about this giveaway, and again, so... The wonderful thing about this giveaway, I think, is we are only making it available to our podcast listeners. So you have to have listened to the episode in order to be in on the giveaway. In my opinion, that makes it even better because it's not some big social media giveaway with millions of people. But, you know, it's small enough, but it's still a lot of people joining in on this thing. So, yeah man, I think it's great. If you missed it, go make sure to check it out.
Just our million listeners.
Yeah, that's right.
Just our million listeners. So it's just you against the million listeners. Yeah. Hey, man, today we got a great episode with who's become a friend of ours kind of in the podcasting world. Most of you that are listening, or a lot of you may have heard of his podcast. It is called The Wet Fly Swing, and today we have with us Mr. Dave Stewart. Go ahead, Caleb, tell everybody about Dave.
Yeah, Dave's just such a cool guy. First of all, his show is amazing. If you haven't yet, go check out The Wet Fly Swing podcast. We'll make sure to link it in the show notes. We met Dave a while back. You know, Joshua and I were listening to the Wet Fly Swing podcast before we ever even started our own show. And then once we started Dads on the Fly, we reached out to Dave. Dave has been a huge help for us. Not only was he kind enough to have us on his show, and we'll make sure to link that episode in the show notes as well. But Dave also has just given us some help, I think, along the way. He's kind of helping mentor us in some things and giving us some things to think about and how we produce and how we make our own show happen. You're going to hear a little bit about that in today's episode because Dave is a phenomenal podcaster. He produces a great show over there at the Wet Fly Swing. But he's also had the opportunity to talk to he's got almost 500 episodes in now. He's had the opportunity to talk to so many different people in the fly fishing industry and learn so much and help share that knowledge with us and anybody else who listens to his show.
Yeah, definitely want you to go check out Dave's show. And, you know, if you ever want to hear about sort of how we started our podcast, Dave asked us that in the episode he did with us, which you're linking in the show notes. So you can check that out. It's a great place to start. Just want to say thank you to Dave and all his team at the Wet Fly Swing for continuing to do what they do. And thanks, Dave, for joining us this episode. We hope you guys will enjoy it. And school's right around the corner, man, so it won't be long.
Yeah, there you go, man. Fishing is limited. It's about to be even more limited now, though. Well, we're going to dive in here in just a minute with our conversation with Mr. Dave Stewart from the Wet Fly Swing podcast. But first, a quick message from some of our sponsors. Dads on the Fly is brought to you by Trout Routes. Joshua, I love the Trout Routes app, and it has become an amazing tool that helps us to find more trout to catch whenever we go on any of our adventures together.
Just exploring new water is what makes Trout Routes great, and these guys are always making the app better. Something is added every day, a new feature. They've just added the Street View feature, which you've got to check out. Click on the orange dot, hit Street View, you can see what the trout stream looks like there. So I can't tell you enough about how cool Trout Routes is when you're out looking for new water.
Man, that's a game changer for us, Josh. We'll be able to see these locations where you want to try to access these rivers. I mean, it's going to be great. So I'm stoked to continue to use the Trout Routes app. We encourage everybody, go wherever you get your apps, download the Trout Routes app. They will be the best tool to help you find more trout to catch.
Caleb, one thing we've done recently is so much smallie fishing. And so much smallie fishing means we're on our raft. And when you hook into that big smallie, man, you want to get that sucker in a net. And we have chosen, and we are so happy to have Dads on the Fly brought to you by catch cam nets.
Yeah, Joshua, catch cam nets are amazing. The cool thing that I love about catch cam nets is they allow you to design and build your own net. So for whatever type of fishing you're doing, to customize it with certain logos or different, you know, they got rulers on the net handles, all these amazing things that just make your fishing experience better. So we encourage everybody, if you're looking and if you're in the market for a net, check them out at catchcamnets.com.
And the best thing about it is if you are a small water fisher, if you are a big water fisher, whatever fish you're chasing, they have a net for you. So please reach out to Bo and Steven over at Catch Cam Nets, and they will build your custom net today. Well, thanks, Dave, for jumping on the show with us today, man. We're happy to have you. We always like to start with everyone just kind of telling everybody kind of how you got into fly fishing. And I know that's kind of a big story for you, but maybe you can sum it up for us.
Yeah, it is. No, thanks for having me here. This has been awesome. I think, you know, my story, it's probably like, you know, I'm getting close to 500 episodes on the podcast, and I've asked, you know, heard this story many times. And it's funny because some of them are person just got started recently, and then some of them go back to when they're a kid, you know, and it seems like it's almost like a nice mix of that. But I'm more on the, you know, back as a kid. So my dad had a little fly shop out in Oregon back in the day, and I grew up around it. It started in the garage and then slowly got a little bit bigger. So by the time I was like 5 years old, I was tying, you know, at the shop, just pretty much spent my days for the first, you know, 20 years around the shop and going to shows and all that. So yeah, man, it's been there since the beginning, and I haven't really, you know, I've been in it for most part, you know, I mean, the podcast came a little bit later. But it was just kind of that opportunity. It just, now that I look back and I'm like, wow, it seems like it's pretty crazy to think, because at the time I thought I was getting into it late, you know, but it's always the way it feels. You know what I mean? Like, you guys are probably the same way. You feel like, oh, you're getting in late. But really, you know, 5 years from now, you're going to be thinking the same thing I did. Like, wow, okay, now people are just getting into it, right? So I feel like, you know, I love the Deschutes River is my home water. I fish steelhead is my species that I've been fishing for. But now that we've kind of got into with the podcast and our travel program, I'm kind of traveling all over the country and finding as much joy in the Great Lakes, you know, all over the country. And so that's what I'm most excited about now, is just the traveling and getting around and meeting up with these people and all this, you know, all around the country. So yeah, it started out in the fly shop, but the podcast is now what it's all about for me.
Man, that's really great, Dave. And I appreciate you sharing that. So you grew up around your dad's fly shop as a little kid. What was that experience like for you, watching your dad be so immersed into this thing that you were kind of, you know, just a part of? It probably felt very normal for you, but it definitely wasn't everybody's experience.
No, it was pretty interesting, because I always thought it was funny, because my daughter said just the other day, or she told mom, she was like, hey, is dad famous? She like asked him because they know about the podcast and stuff. But when I was a kid, I mean, I felt like my dad was famous too.
Yeah.
You know, and he kind of was, right, in this part of the world, because he, you know, he was one of the first guides on the Deschutes River, right, for fly. And so he was kind of this famous. Nobody really knows about him now because he's in his mid-80s. And, you know, people out here know about him, but around the country, nobody really knows about him. But yeah, he was a famous person to me. And it was really, I felt great every time we left the house and we were hopping the boat going on the river. I just felt like, man, I felt like I was special. You know what I mean? So whenever I got on the river. So I think that's something that kept me going. And, you know, my dad, I think, you know, it's like a double-edged sword. Like, my dad was everything. He was my mentor. I learned everything from him. But because of that, I really didn't learn from others. You know what I mean? And so I feel like there's part of that too, where if he wouldn't have been there, I may have learned from other people more, right? And taking advantage of that. One example I always use is the spey casting. So spey, we never got into spey, you know, and now of course spey fishing and all that is very big and really popular. But I didn't get in that till like later in the game. And that was mainly because my dad was against it. He did, you know, he was single hand fly for steelhead and all that stuff. But yeah, I mean, it was just I think it was a great experience, and I definitely am thankful that I had it.
You mentioned something that kind of is funny. You're in this space a lot, you know. You run your podcast, which we're going to talk about here in a minute, and you're in this kind of environment. But I think me and Caleb have this conversation, you know, like your daughter asked us, "Is dad famous?" And we sometimes think like people who are in this industry. But a lot of people in the world don't really know people in this industry. And so like for us, you meet somebody that you've like wanted to fish with, or like you've read their books or you've studied all their stuff and you're like, wow, they're a celebrity. But sometimes the average person doesn't, like, what are you guys talking about? Like fly fishing. No. It's so interesting.
It's because it's tiny.
Yeah, it really is a smaller community.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, exactly. Like, think of the greatest names, like Lefty Cray, you know, and all these names. Like, most people probably have no idea who Lefty Cray is, right? And he's this giant person. But yeah, I don't know. I think that's also what keeps it really cool, is that it is a small, tight-knit community of people. I think that's why we all love it, because we are all working together, you know, and that's kind of like this thing we're doing here. I always feel like, you know, we're all working together on this. We're all elevating each other to do great things and have a good time. And so I think it's pretty special to have a small community. So I feel good about it.
Well, we talk all the time about how the community supports each other so well. And it's such a tight, even though it is maybe a small community, it's such a, in the scheme of the world, it's such a cool community. Like, once you're a part of it, and once you like become, like you said, somebody new, maybe into fly fishing, then all of a sudden they're now part of the club, and kind of everywhere they go, it's like we keep feeding off each other and giving feedback or learning, and constantly just this learning mind. And that's what we've really been blessed. And I know, speak to that on your end, how blessed you've been to kind of be in this space now for how long?
Yeah. So, man, it's kind of like 2017, end of 2017, I launched the podcast, but 2015, I launched the blog. So my story was in 2014, in that range, I started learning about online marketing. That's kind of where that started coming. And I really was obviously into fly fishing, and I said, hey, I'll try this website. I'll try blogging. You know, so I was trying to do this, and it hit like nothing, crickets. So I was, because I just didn't enjoy it. It wasn't. And so for 2 years, like 2015, 2016, plus 2 years of crickets, I was blogging all the time, trying to create this thing. Right. But anyways, in 2017, I was, you know, in those 2 years, I was listening to podcasts, business podcasts, you know, Pat Flynn, all these people. And I love podcasts. I always love listening to them. And I still do to this day. I still listen tons. And I just said, you know, in 2015, I said, you know what, I'm going to start a podcast in 2 years. I just set a goal, and I had no idea what it was going to be. I just said, I'm going to have my own podcast in 2 years. And 2 years later, December 2017, the Wet Fly Swing podcast launched. And it was the first time that somebody reached out, I think that month, and just said, Dave, I love it. Keep doing what you're doing. This is awesome. And I never got that when I was just doing the blog. And so finally I knew, like, okay, I got something. And I sucked back then, just like we all do. The first episode sucked, but I still, it resonated with people. And that's the beauty of podcasting, is you don't have to be perfect. You just have to enjoy it and be curious.
I couldn't agree with you more, Dave. And I think you just telling that story, you know, there's that power of just like stick with itness. Like, just like, this is what I feel like I'm supposed to be doing. This is what I feel like I'm going to do. And you kind of feel called to that. And so you just stick with it. You know, you try to figure out what works. Obviously, you know, you've been podcasting, you've been hosting the Wet Fly Swing podcast. We encourage anybody who's listening to go check it out. What is kind of the thing that you've learned the most just about podcasting and about talking and interviewing to all these different people and all that time?
Right. Yeah, that is, I love that question. I mean, I've learned so much. That's the thing, you know, like what is one thing? Cause I've always tried to learn from others, you know, and again, you're always learning, and you know, I'm always trying to find people to help me grow and get better at it. But I mean, there's been a lot. I think I was doing a lot good early on, you know, but probably one thing I did learn, I talk about this, is like editing. You know, I learned this from somebody who was really big in the podcasting space early on, who started a lot of the NPR podcasts back in the day. And he told me, I had him on an interview on my other show, I was doing. And I asked him, you know, what's the most important thing you can do? And he said, you know, every, you know, minute you edit your podcast makes it that much better. You know, and at that point, I wasn't doing much editing. I was pretty much just letting it roll. I would do the interviews, and then I just throw it out there, and I didn't do any editing hardly. And I heard from people. I got feedback from listeners that were like, yeah, you know, this is like, you know, there were reviews coveted that were not, some weren't good. And I listened to those people, and I said, wow, you're right. And so I started editing and cleaning it up, and I started getting better at my interview style and stopped doing certain things, you know, interrupting people, whatever it was, right? And so I'm always trying to get better at that. So I think that's the biggest thing. I think always trying to, you know, don't get stuck on one thing, because just like business, where in business, you got to always keep evolving, you know, and same thing with podcasting. I think you got to always keep getting better, because, you know, you can't stay stagnant, because if you stay stagnant, people are going to pass you by. And so I'm always trying to change it up, even though, you know, we stick with the same framework. We're basically an interview podcast. I'm always trying to think, what can we try different this month? You know? And so I think that's one thing, you know, that, and I guess other kind of stuff I've learned is, you know, paying people, you know, literally from a business perspective to help you get better. Or even if you're not doing that, just finding mentors to help you get better. I find that's been a big success, a big help for me.
Yeah, and I'll echo that you have been a big help to us when we started our show. First of all, you were gracious enough to have us on an episode of your show. And, you know, we've tossed some things back and forth about how do you do this, how do you do that. And that's what's made it really cool. You know, I think in ways there's a lot of podcasts out there. I think there are more and more every day. But what we found is people like yourself and some other folks that are in like kind of the fishing, fly fishing space that are doing podcasts, in most cases, we've seen been very gracious to assist, help. Hey, you have your audience. You kind of have your special thing. We have my, I know we're a different show, but you know, there's some similarities. What about it when you decided, okay, 2 years, I'm going to do a podcast. You set this date.
Yeah.
What about it for you? I mean, you said you listened to all kinds of podcasts, but what about it for you said, I'm going to do this about fishing, like about fly fishing? Like, you know, you could, you're a smart guy, you got a lot of skills, a lot of other areas, but you said, hey, we're going all in on fishing.
You're right. Well, and I can't remember exactly the moment, but I already had this blog, and I was in groups, you know, I was in some mentoring groups and stuff, and you know, and I think part of it was somebody said, hey, you know, you should be doing something that you're interested in, because when times get tough, you know, it's like I could have gone, and I did try other stuff. I did physical product sales for a while. I was selling products and doing all sorts of stuff that really wasn't, you know, what I really loved. And so I think I realized that fly fishing I did really love, and I figured why not do it in something that you know. And then I learned along the way that being curious and things like that is a big part of being a good podcaster, right? Being able to just ask, like you guys are doing, right? Ask good questions. That's something that not everybody can do, especially if you're not curious about the subject, because you kind of get bored. So that's, I think, that's kind of it for me. You know, I think that's, that's pretty much my take on it.
Yeah. I mean, you find something you're really passionate about, and then, you know, you found this outlet as a way to help other people and also grow yourself. I mean, you know, and I think that's the cool thing that Josh and I figured out about this podcast. Like, and I would love for you to speak to this too. You know, you could have definitely done a fly fishing podcast. You've been around the industry for a really long time. You've got a pretty good bit of expertise probably, but you didn't want to make your show. And I want you to speak to a little bit about how you kind of designed your show.
Right.
You know, you wanted to interview other people and get their expertise and not just share the knowledge that you had. So speak to a little bit about that.
Yeah. Well, I think there's two things for a podcast. Well, there's not just two, but there's two things I thought about. You can either do an interview show, or you can do both, but a lot of people do an interview show, and that's a good way to build your network, right? Because, and we've done that, and you guys are doing that too, right? I've interviewed 500 people. All those people now I'm doing other stuff with. You know, we're going to the Great Lakes with Jeff Liskey, Rick Kustich. We want to go up to camp. You know, all these things are because of the podcast.
Yeah.
You know, so all these brands, there's no way I could reach out to, you know, you name the person without having a little bit of that credential. So you got that, or you can go on a podcast. If you are the expert, you take anybody like Phil Rolley, for example, and you have the knowledge, well, you should just go and do your own podcast and not interview, because now people start to learn from you and they realize you're the expert, and then they will buy your stuff. Mm. So Phil, I'm lucky enough to have Phil on our podcast now. We've been tweaking and trying a new thing. So we're doing something I don't think anybody's done yet in our space, but I'm getting other hosts to host our show.
Cool.
And so like Phil Rolley, who is the expert. So I guess I am trying to do this. I'm doing this hybrid model now. So Phil actually does, you know, the wet fly swing littoral zone. And so he's doing a certain number of episodes, but I think those are the two things I always think about you can do. So I've never been, as far as fly fishing, I've guided, I've done all that. I never enjoyed guiding. I feel like some people were meant for guiding. I remember those days when I was on a steelhead trip and the fishing was tough, but I was like, I wanted to just like kill myself.
Yeah.
And so I feel like I really didn't like it. So I knew that wasn't something I wanted to do. So when I got on the podcast, you know, just talking to people and learning from them just made total sense, right? So if I can't guide, why not bring the guide on? And then I'm learning from him, and then everybody else is learning from me asking the questions, right? And so that's what I feel I wanted to do. We started the show as a steelhead show.
Okay.
Season one, you know, the first 30 episodes were all steelhead. And I always use this saying I've said a lot, the riches are in the niches, you know? And so there's a lot of truth to that, right? So you don't want to start too broad, because you can't speak to everybody. You really want to start with a niche down, because then you can really nail that niche and be the best in that. So I feel like we were the fly fishing steelhead kind of West Coast podcast, fly fishing podcast. And we kind of had that, but after about 30 episodes, first season, I really felt like I didn't want to just be steelhead. So I just said, you know what? I want to try trout. I want to just start expanding out, because I didn't want to get stuck into one little niche. So we did nail that. I think you start niche down, but then you can grow and expand. And that's kind of been what we've been doing. And so, you know, we've just been touched on everything, but we really have our core. You know, there's a lot of steelhead fishermen, a lot of trout fishermen, of course, but saltwater is another niche I would love to keep getting more into as I go. Europe. You know, I talk about Europe like we're all in the United States, right? But I mean, I do occasionally these European episodes, and I'll hear from people that throw stuff back at me and say, hey, man, you know, check this out. So I feel like now I want to just do everything around fly fishing and keep it interesting, but still serve the core audience, who is the people I'm hearing from. So if somebody comes out to me today and sends me an email and says, can you do this? Like, so I was just reading the email before I got on. I'm going to do an episode for that person. So that's kind of how I think about how I built the show. I've always tried to get feedback. It's hard early on because you're not hearing from a lot of people, but once you start getting feedback, I mean, I feel like that's the best way to build a show, because you're literally answering at least one person. You're answering a question specifically for that person. And you know, there's probably more people.
So, you know, Caleb and I, we're both avid listeners of your show. So we have an idea, but maybe somebody who's listening to this today doesn't understand what the web. I could do a commercial for you, but I'm going to let you. Yeah. I'm going to let you do your own commercial here. So, like, what do listeners have when they tune in to the Wet Fly Swing? What do they get an option for? Because now you've kind of got all this going on. You got a lot, but you know, yeah. when I first started listening, even you weren't doing quite as many episodes as you're doing now.
Yeah.
But what can I turn on and look for? What's a good way to go about, like, to start to listen to the Wet Fly Swing?
Yeah. I think we do have a lot of diversity of topics. So I think going to, you know, the website or going on, you know, probably going to the website is the best, and going to the search bar and just searching a topic. You know, if you want to learn about trout fishing or you're a certain state, say you're in Pennsylvania and you say you're brand new to fishing, type in Pennsylvania in our search bar and you'll pop up a bunch of episodes for Pennsylvania. We'll have George, you know, a bunch of different episodes we've done in Pennsylvania. So that's kind of where we start. I think that, you know, that's part of the challenge, is you've got so much content, especially now that we're doing 3 full length interviews per week now.
Wow.
So so Monday, Wednesday, Friday, there's a new episode coming out. And again, I don't think anybody's doing that in fly fishing in our space. I mean, maybe they are. I don't really keep total track of it, but so not just one off 10 minute episodes. We're doing hour long episodes, 3 of those a week. So we're doing a lot of content. And, you know, I always feel, again, I think that that's what we have, is that we can literally, anybody out there right now can go there and find content that will directly relate to them that we have. And if we don't have it, we've got enough bandwidth that we can put it together. Like that question the guy asked me about steelhead fishing, I'm just going to reach out to one of our, either Jeff Liskey or Rick Kustich, who just wrote the book Modern Spey Fishing. And I'm going to say, Rick, we're doing this event with you. I got this question. Can you answer this on the next podcast? Right. So I feel like that's what we've built. We've made so many connections, you know, probably as many most out there, that we've just got this network now. So I can serve up anybody who's, and I get these beginner questions a lot. People are like, oh man, I want to learn, you know, I'm just getting into it. Where do I get started? So that's something where I think I need to do a better job of creating resources, specifically maybe batched sections or pages on the website where people can go and say, okay, here's the beginner 101, or here's, you know, here's Pennsylvania fly fishing, you know, the steps or the 10 places to fish. So that's kind of some of the stuff we do. I think organization is probably where we can work a little bit better moving ahead, but that's kind of where I'm trying to get, like, you know, the Great Lakes podcast. We're working on an Eastern US kind of trout school and podcast we're going to be working on. So my plan is to have all these major sections covered as we go ahead. So, but I would say the starting point is go to the website, wetflyswing.com, and just search for whatever you're interested in. If it's beginner fly fishing, type that in and we'll have a podcast that probably gives you some information.
Dave, I love just listening to your passion, man. I love hearing you talk about this. And it's just cool because you're very, I mean, Josh and I have learned so much from you already. You've been a big help to us as we've kind of gotten our podcast started, and you've been a huge help. And it's, you know, I look at you and listen to your show, and I think, man, this guy's the guru in the fly fishing podcast space. And here I hear you talking about all these things you're already thinking about to make it better. And that's I don't know, man. I think that's so refreshing, and it's just a good thing to hear somebody who's so passionate about it, but not, you know, you don't feel like you've arrived yet. You know, you're always thinking about how to make it better. And I don't know. That's encouraging to me. It makes me sit here and think back about our show now and all the things we want to start thinking about. How to
I think you said it. We all kind of stink at the beginning, right? I mean,
yeah,
for sure.
Right. And I've been hearing feedback, you know, I mean, obviously your listeners are hearing this, so they know. I mean, I've been hearing stuff from about you guys for a while. You know, I just heard somebody the other day talking about, you know, I think they found us through you guys or something like that, right? So you guys are, you know, you're putting your mark. It's your own. That's what's cool about it. You're doing your own thing.
Yeah.
You know, and we're doing, and there's room for other people to do their own thing out here, you know?
So what's the kind of goal of Wet Fly Swing? Like when you started this thing, you probably had something in mind. Has it evolved over time, or is it still what you thought it would be when you started?
Oh man. It's definitely evolved. You know, the, probably the biggest thing the last couple of years is this travel program that we've been getting into. So it's really lined up perfectly with what we have going because, you know, it's travel program and then these new podcasts that we're doing that are connected. So what we're doing essentially, you know, you could go out and start a new podcast from square one right now, create a new feed, do everything and just say, here's this new podcast and start from square one with zero listeners and then build that audience. But what I've been trying to do is kind of go out and do a hybrid model where I take, like, for example, Jeff Liskey, come out and say, hey, you know the Great Lakes better than anybody. How about since we're doing these trips, we're doing a travel program with Jeff, we're doing the, you know, out to the Great Lakes. How about we do a certain number of episodes and you just host the show and we'll call it the Great Lakes Dude Podcast. And so that's what, so he's talking to our listeners, right? And so it's the same listeners of the Wet Fly Swing, but they're hearing from him. And eventually we could build that in and give it its own feed if we wanted to. And that's kind of how I'm looking at this. Like if he really wants to do that and we get to that point, we could still do that and have the separate podcast. But right now that's kind of one of the things I think is keeping it interesting for me. But I mean, like I said, I'm always evolving. I mean, it started out as literally my number one goal was, and I think maybe you know, you guys know this too, but when I started 2017, I said, I am not going to miss a week of podcasts.
Yeah.
And since 2017, if you go back, I have not missed a single week in 6 years.
Wow.
Not holidays, no matter when that lands. For a long time, it was every Tuesday. So every Tuesday since 2017, you can go back and find a podcast because we would batch them. And then, you know, along the way, I think 2 or 3 years ago, I said, you know what, let's try 2 podcasts a week and see what happens. Because I heard some things about things dipping that, you know, you put too much content out there or whatever. And so we tried it and it seemed to work and people liked it. And so now the next thing we're doing now is 3 a week. And I kind of joke about it, but, you know, the daily podcast is maybe, you know, the next step. But again, I have a little team, you know, that's helping me with this thing now. So it's, it's pretty hard to do this solo, the amount of work we have going because it's just a constant.
I got two things, but the first one, since you brought it up, and I kept hearing you say this, and you say it all the time in your show. You do such a great job of saying this. You always say we, and that statement is always we for the Wet Fly Swing. It's never Dave at the Wet Fly Swing.
Right.
So talk about how cool, how important that is to you, because you are very clear to say we, and you mentioned your team. So how much do those guys mean to you, those girls, guys, whoever they are?
Yeah. I love that. No, and I think the we actually just comes, and I think of the we as we, the podcast listeners, like people listening right now are the we. You know, we're all in this together. I always feel like the podcast is really not about me, even though I'm the host. The podcast is about the listener, you know, and that's the number one thing for me. It's always been, I've always known that, you know, you got to serve the person listening because, you know, if I try to serve myself in some goal, I know it's just going to be failure. So, and so that's kind of how I've always done that. And it's been cool because I didn't know it was going to be successful, right? Starting out, I just jumped into it and tried it. And so I do. Yeah, I feel like the we is huge. You know, the we is, I have a little team. I have some assistants that have doing editing, and now we're doing all sorts of things with the business, like everything. So I'm slowly trying to, you know, become more CEO level, right? That's kind of how you get in this. First, you're doing everything, and then you slowly try to transfer these tasks over. So I'm in that process of trying to get more of my team. It's 4 of us basically, but I've got some other people helping out with websites and things like that. But yeah, I mean, I couldn't do it without them. There's no way. I mean, there's no way I can get to where we are right now without. And so that's something I've learned is that you can't do it alone. I mean, you can do it alone for a certain extent, but you kind of come to that bottleneck.
Yeah.
And then you can't do what you want. So this travel program, I'm actually doing this. So here's a shout out, Greg Keenan, who had the Fly Fishing Insider podcast. Mm-hmm. So he sold that podcast. But me and Greg were buddies back in the day because we, again, in events, shout out to events, go to events, because Greg and I met at one of the IFTD events along with the Barbless podcast, who Chad at the time was going awesome. This was a few years back, but he was leading the way. You want to talk about quality? He was doing that same thing. He had a few podcasts. And he just, you know, I think he got burnt out and just now he's out of it. Right. But I met those two guys. So Greg, I'm still friends with, and we launched this school program that we're doing. So the school of fishing is this, basically our travel side. So he's helping me with that. We're like 50-50 doing the same. Cause again, there's no way I was doing some of it on my own, but I just realized I couldn't do it on my own. I couldn't do what I want to do, which is I want to travel all around the world. I want to build programs for our listeners, and we're starting out in North America, but my goal is to travel and build a travel program. So that's the we, right? Getting back to that. I mean, these are all of the places. So Greg is a piece, you know, I'm even down to my accountant, right? All these things that you don't think about, you know, I mean, the more things you can put in place, the better I've found it is. And then again, paying the we is me paying a mentor or a business coach, right? Which I've done. I've spent, you know, lots of money on business coaching and stuff to make sure that I'm, you know, staying above, because if you don't, you know, you're just going to make a bunch of mistakes and it's going to take you, you know, 10 times as long to get where you want to get. So that's the we. It's everybody and my family. And my family. Yeah.
We're going to get to them. We're going to get to them here at the second half of the episode. Yeah. But let's talk you. For people who don't follow the show or who maybe are not regular listeners to your show, you do so much. And every now and then you'll have this just like exceptional giveaway. I don't know how often you do those, but it's like crazy amount.
Yeah.
It's like crazy stuff. And then, but you also speak a little bit more to, so these trips, and do you host those trips? Like, hey, come fish with me. Or is it usually in collaboration with like an expert in the area?
Yeah, it's a little bit of it can be both. So there's not any exact set, but basically what we've been doing is like our school program. What we do is we do a big giveaway, right? And we just give away a trip, one spot to go on this amazing trip. And then I find somebody, I try to find the best person, the best river. So for example, we did this Euro school in Idaho. So we're going to Idaho. I figured Euro nymphing is a big challenge. A lot of people, obviously, it's a big thing a lot of people want to learn about. And I just said, you know, who's the best person for Euro nymphing that could help teach us? And so, you know, so Pete, you know, I mean, Pete Erickson. He's the guy that designed the Shadow X rod for Echo. He's been on the, you know, Team USA. He's been involved, like, you know, he's been there since the beginning. So, you know, Pete was on the podcast and I reached out and said, Pete, what do you think? You know, and he's like, yep, let's do it. And so he's setting up this trip. We're working with some folks locally, but we're essentially getting a really nice Airbnb, getting, you know, we're going to have a chef. It's going to be basically like a lodge program, just not quite the cost.
Yeah.
So we're creating the whole thing on our own. But we got Pete as the guides. We're going to the South Fork of the Snake, the Henry's Fork, two of the famous rivers of the West. We're going to go there. We're going to learn how to Euro nymph. And Pete and two other of his guides are going to be there. And we're going to float the river. And just so that's the trip. And then I go along. And then we basically sell six slots. So it's like a hosted trip.
Gotcha.
So then we say, hey, and then the winner gets to go. So that winner gets to go for free. And then he also brings along all of his gear that he won that we gave away. Plus, we give away some bonus items. I do a live event. We always give away some bonus stuff as well.
Really cool. So that's the travel program that you've set up right now, right?
Yeah.
Is that kind of the newest thing you've got coming up right now, or that's taking the most of your attention, I guess?
Yeah, that's the big, I mean, that and the podcast new hosting that I have. I'm always trying to find who's the next host. So there's a couple of Eastern shops that I'm working with right now. We haven't set any deals yet, but I'm working with them right now to, you know, some ideas. I find one of the best shops on the East Coast. They become our Trout School East program. And then, you know, I reach out to them and maybe if they want to host the podcast, maybe now we have a new host for the, you know, for the East Coast or whatever it is, right? That sort of thing. So that's taken up a lot too, just because of the conversation. You can imagine all the people I'm talking to build those. I've got to talk to all these people. I'm doing all the talking. My team, really, when it comes down to all of that, I'm doing all of the FaceTime stuff, and that takes a lot of time.
For sure.
And, you know, we were on your show, but how often, I don't know, I guess maybe this is a curious listener question. It would be a question that people kind of know us. We know they kind of know how we do our show, but how many episodes or how much recording are you doing on a given week? There's some weeks where you just like really get it all recorded and then you take maybe like a couple of days off you're putting out a lot of content. So there's a lot of recording that you have to do.
Yeah. Yeah. When I started out, you know, if you do one episode a week, well, you got to do at least one episode a week just to keep up. So I always figured I'll do two a week because that would give me, I'll start to get ahead, right? I'm always trying to get ahead. When we started doing two episodes a week, I was like, okay, now we got to do at least three episodes a week to keep up, right? And so now that we're doing 3 episodes a week, we got to do at least 4. And then sometimes stuff happens. I go on vacation. I'm out, you know, whatever. You lose a week. If you're doing 3 episodes a week, which we're doing, and you and I'm off for a week or two, I mean, I could be ahead like a month or two of podcasts scheduled out, and all of a sudden that goes away. Yeah. That's how fast the content machine goes. So, you know, that. So with that said, I try to do like 4 a week minimum.
Yeah.
You know, this week I think I'm doing 7 or 8. You know, so I mean, I don't know if I've ever done like 10, but 7 or 8 episodes a week is a lot.
Yeah.
And I don't really batch them. I probably should batch them and just say, I'm going to do, you know, 6 episodes on this day. But the problem is I also don't like to be stuck to a time. I don't like to say, hey, I'm going to do just 45 minutes. Like, yeah. I just did an episode that's coming out with Ed Herbst, who's actually a South African, famous guy in South Africa. It's 1 hour and 45 minutes long.
Wow.
So I don't like to restrict my time. I'm more like I'm not quite at like Joe Rogan style where he's out for 3 hours, but I like yeah. to feel, I like to let it go. And our listeners, I've asked them too, do you care how long the episode is? Do you want me to keep it below 1 hour? And people, for the most part, just say no, just keep going as long as you need to go.
Yeah, we see different results, I think, on our, like, sometimes we'll have episodes that are maybe 45 minutes, then we'll somehow they're 1 hour and 20. And they, I think it depends on the if the conversation's really good and everybody's locked in for 1 hour and 20, you get the same, you don't really see a drop in listeners yeah. or, you know, in downloads by any no. means.
Sure. And I see that myself because, again, me being a podcast, self-proclaimed podcast addict, I listen to him. So there's episodes like Joe Rogan. The other day, he had a guest on. It was 3 hours long. And over a period of like 3 days, I listened to that whole episode.
Yeah.
So I know people do it because I know I do it.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. For sure. Well, Dave, we want to get in a little bit more about kind of your personal story and talk a little bit more about fly fishing there in the Pacific Northwest. And talk to you a little bit about being a dad and what that's like for you with all of this amazing stuff you got going on. We're going to take a quick break before we do that. But before we transition out of the Wet Fly Swing podcast, I would love to just hear what has been your favorite thing about hosting the Wet Fly Swing?
Man, the favorite thing has probably been, I mean, every time I get up and I have a new podcast episode to do, you know, it's still the same as it was 6 years. I still love just getting ready for the conversation. Even like, you know, this today, this is a different, the tables flip, but I just love the chat. I think I have that thing. I just love talking. Yeah. It's funny because I always thought when I was younger, I was kind of a, I don't know what the word is for it. I was a little bit, you know, I wasn't, I guess, as outgoing. I don't think I enjoyed talking as much. But now, for some reason, I just enjoy every conversation. So I think that's it. It seems like I just had Lily Renzetti on, you know, and we're listening to it. That's coming out in a couple of weeks. And she was just told this story, and she had this, you know, accent, and she told the whole story. And it was amazing. We talked about Benjamin Franklin, and I've been watching the history of, like, some of our founding fathers, and I watched this OPB thing and Ben Franklin. I just love the podcasting about that, the stories and being able to just go, because it is fly fishing. Again, that's what we're here for. But sometimes I'll go off on a tangent and let the guest and we'll go down some route. Like Lily talked about women in fly fishing. And she said that I asked her, like, are you trying to get up to some 50-50? No, I asked her about our ambassadors. I said, you have like 25 ambassadors and 23 of them are males. And I said, are you trying to get more women on as ambassadors? And she straight up said, you know, pretty much called me out. And she said, no, I mean, I totally against that. You know, we only try to find the best people, you know? And I was like, yeah, you're right. You're right. That's the way you should do it. You should find the best people. So I think those conversations are what I love and is what keeps me going. Because if I didn't have that sort of stuff and not knowing what she's going to say or what these people are going to say, it would be boring.
Yeah.
And I think that's what our listeners love. They love to, like, every episode, you don't quite know what we're going to, you know, but right now I can come up and, like, do some weird stuff and freak people out. Right. And I won't do that, but, you know, thanks. I mean, that's the sort of stuff that, like, keep people on the edge. Right.
Is there before we go to break, is there a guest in your how many episodes now? Almost 500, right?
We're going to hit 500. Yeah. I think we're like 480 now or something.
So
like
we're close to 480 plus. Is there a guest that that you just never thought you would talk to about fly fishing? Is there one that just stands out? It's like, wow, I never thought.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And the younger people, you guys you might not even remember this, but I actually talked to a couple of millennials that had no idea, but they're, remember Happy Days?
Yeah.
The show. Yeah. Happy Days, right? The Fonz.
Yeah.
Oh, we know who you're about to say.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Henry Winkler.
Yeah. I listened to that episode twice. Yeah.
Henry Winkler, right? I mean, it was amazing, wasn't it? I mean, he was so passionate, you know, and he, Like, I would have never thought, I don't even know if I knew he fished back in the day, but I would never thought I'd have Henry Winkler. I love Happy Days, right? He's a famous guy. And what he said on that podcast, the stuff was unbelievable, right? And I had a chance to ask some questions to the Fonz, a guy who is, you know, he said himself, right? I can't remember what he said. He was getting hundreds of thousands of fan letters, you know, a day or something like that back in his prime. But it was so cool. I think that definitely is one person. I mean, that's probably the big one that sticks out. I know there's a bunch. I mean, Kelly Gallup, every time I talk to him, he's huge. And but I don't know. I love the people nobody have ever heard of, well, right? Those people, like, those are great too.
Yeah, like some crazy guys from North Carolina who have their own podcast. Nobody ever
That's
heard
right.
of that. And here we are
That's
again.
Right. Oh, yeah.
That's cool. Well, Dave, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back, and we're going to dive in a little bit more of your favorite places to fish and what you do fishing, a little bit more about your family. So we'll take a short break, and we will be right back. We want to give a big thank you to a sponsor of this episode, Turtle Box Audio. Joshua, Turtle Box Audio speakers, the most rugged, loudest outdoor speaker on the market. We just continue to not be able to say enough great things about these things.
Yeah, if you've heard any of our episodes in the last 2 months, maybe even longer than that, you know how much we love our Turtle Box Audio. The other day, we were playing pickleball, and Corbin was like, hey, where's the Turtle Box? So it's not just for fishing. It's for anything you do. You got to get a Turtle Box Audio for your family adventures, anywhere you're going, whether it's out on the water or just on a beach trip or in a mountain, any kind of trip. You're hanging out outside. Nothing better than having a Turtle Box Audio blast some tunes or listen to an episode of Dazzle Fly Podcast. So get your TurtleBox Audio today at TurtleBoxAudio.com.
Yeah, check them out and get whatever type of custom speaker you want there at TurtleBoxAudio.com. Well, we are back with Mr. Dave Stewart of the Wet Fly Swing Podcast. Dave, thanks again for hanging out with us. We want to talk a little bit now, man, about some of your, you know, we spent so much time talking about the Wet Fly Swing show and it is amazing. We encourage people to go check it out. But we'd love to hear a little bit more about some of your personal stuff. So first of all, you live there in the PNW. You said you're big into steelhead and swinging wet flies, and it's kind of how your show started. So is that your favorite thing to do? Is that what you're after? I mean, are you steelhead city all day long?
Yeah, I mean, steelhead's definitely got me in its grip. You know, steelhead's one of those things. It's like, you know, any fish you chase and you can cast 1,000 whatever times without touching the fish, you got to have some addiction.
Yeah.
Right. And steelhead can be that way. And actually right now the little bit of the sad thing is right now the steelhead runs have taken a big dip.
Yeah.
And they're really low and they've closed fisheries around the Pacific Northwest and all the way up around the Pacific Rim. So there is a little bit of that. I think that's going to recover as we go. It's just going to take some time. But I mean, it's just, steelhead is just something. I don't know what it is about it, but I think it's that it's meditative. You're sitting on the river. It's really kind of simple in a lot of ways, but you're still working on your cast. But you're out there. And I always think of this, the Deschutes is our home river, kind of one of our home rivers. And it's unique because it's in the desert. And a lot of people think of Oregon, the Pacific Northwest, they think of rain, right? Because it rains a lot. And it does. It rains 100 inches of rain a year where I live. But there's a mountain range that splits the state in half, mm-hmm. and most of the state is in the desert. So on the east side of that is all the desert, and that's where the Deschutes and these other rivers are. So it's literally a cold, big, giant river run through the desert. And so in the summer days, like, you know, August right now, you're sitting there in 95 degrees, well, in the daytime, but mornings and evenings are just amazing, and you're in your shorts, and you're swinging for these giant anadromous trout. Right, that some of them are, you know, 10 pounds or bigger, and you know, and they're out there running to your backing and cartwheeling out in the river and stuff. So, and they're taking little tiny flies, so it's just this whole experience. And then, you know, I don't know, it's that, and then you know, you're out there in the desert with the rattlesnakes, and so it's that whole thing. And you're on a remote canyon floating down the river, right? And you got the family there, and the kids love it just as much now. And so there's that. I think that's really, I think of steelhead. There's also winter steelhead, which is totally different, like super cold. You know, it's a totally different deal. I don't do that quite as much as I used to. Although the thing we're doing with Jeff out in the Great Lakes is in December. But that's more, we're going back to a cabin. So it's kind of a different experience. steelhead still keeps me going. I will say the podcast has just opened up everything. And I mean, you name a species right now, and if I haven't had a podcast on it, I will, you know, because any of them, carp, you know, so my goal is to fish and catch every fish. I mean, I know I never will, but I want to fish for everything. I want to travel around to every state, every country. You know, I kind of wish, you know, all those things, I wish we could get some time back, you know, and, but that's my goal. And that's, so Steelhead is where I started, but I'm into everything now.
Well, just for those of us that have not, you know, done that, can you just, you know, you talked about the river, you talked about the setup, your fish, what weight rod are you fishing? And just for me, mainly, maybe nobody else has this question, but
yeah,
for who's never done it, you're casting that fly, and it's really, it's called the swing, right? You're just kind of letting that fly swing. So not like you're dead drifting for trout or anything like that. You're swinging flies.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, so breaking it down simply, you know, there's, most people are using a spay rod now. You hear a lot about trout spay, but essentially you're using a spay rod. Depending on how, you know, where you're fishing, it might be a 12 and a half foot, 13 foot spay rod, seven weight, something like that, six, seven weight. And so you got the spay rod, and you got a, you know, typically you're using like a Scandi or Skagit line, but it's some sort of a spay line. And yeah, you've got this big, the water's rushing by, and you're casting out at a 45 degree downstream and across, and you're just letting the basically cast out and let the river swing your fly down. And so, you know, you've learned where these fish hold. So there's still a lot of work on getting the fly just right. So you're mending and you're doing this as it's, you know, and getting it to the right level, but there's a lot of work to do. But essentially, yeah, you're casting out and letting it swing down, and then you take a step, or you cast, and then you take a step down, and then you work the run systematically. So you might work 100 yards or whatever run and just fish that water, and, you know, and fish are scattered throughout in these holes because they're migrating up from the ocean, right? That's what they're doing. And trout spay is the same. I mean, you could look at a trout, you could do the same exact technique for trout. You can swing fly. I just talked to Rick Haithley, who's an entomologist, and he talked about wet flies. You know, nobody talks about wet flies, but, you know, the wet fly swing was, I came up with that name because I wanted to throw it back to the traditional stuff. That's why I wanted that. I wanted people to think wet flies. Like, nobody talks about wet flies, right? Like the emergers, the old Davy Watton stuff.
Yeah.
But that's what I remember. So you can do it with trout. You can do trout spay and swing flies with wet flies as well. But essentially, that's all we're doing. When you get into winter steelhead and stuff like that, and what we're doing in the Great Lakes, is a lot more technical. We're using really specific types of lines, Skagit lines. We're dropping the flies off of ledges. There's a lot of really detailed stuff you can get into. But in the simplest form, it's downstream and across, and you're swinging your fly and working through a run.
All right. So your favorite steelhead story?
Ooh, favorite steelhead story. Man. God, I got to go back. I'm going back to BC, to the Skeena River this year for the first time, and it's been quite a many, many years. But back when we were there, I think it was 2010, we did this remote float trip into the Babine River, which is a tributary of the Skeena. And it's one of these rivers that nobody really goes on, or nobody, most people helicopter in to the cabins because it's so extreme. But we were like, you know what? Let's just bring our own rafts and we'll figure it out. And so we dropped it in this canyon. It was so crazy and tight that literally there were areas where the canyon walls were so tight you had to ship your oars in to get through. And it was just this really intense. And there's this one place where this guy locally in Canada, we asked him, okay, how do we get to this rapid? And he was like, all right, this one's called Stay Right or Die. You know, this one's called, you know, all this stuff. And so we didn't realize that we were getting into it, but we got into it. It was way more technical than we thought, just the whitewater.
Yeah.
But what that got us to was water that nobody could helicopter into. Mm. And only we had the section of the Babine, which was, and I will say fishing wasn't, you know, we weren't catching fish left and right, but I caught, I mean, three giant steelhead. One was, they're all in the upper teens.
Wow.
And one of them, I have a picture out there of this fish, and it was just like, it was doing this cartwheel, and it was literally like an 18 pound steelhead. And I just had it on. It was on a single hand. It was on a spay rod, because by that time I had brought a spay rod. I was learning the spay. It was a 13 foot eight weight. And that fish was literally just cartwheel. I mean, it was doing this, a 18 pound fish. And I was just holding on for dear life. And I got that in and got a picture of it. And I look at that picture now in this remote canyon with the raft in the background, and just, you know what I mean? It kind of gives me goosebumps now thinking about that memory. And that's a good one.
Yeah, because it's not even about the fish as much as it is what it took to get it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's so cool.
Well, we learned that so much, and it seems like the more we fish, the longer we fish, it's so much more about kind of what went into the planning, from the days of planning to who you're with to what you had to do to get there. And you've spoken about, you know, wanting to maybe get into more some salt episodes and some more salt water stuff. Personally as well, and you've spoken about wanting to catch all these different species of fish. What what is maybe one place, you know, you've spent a lot of time in Pacific Northwest. It's kind of like your home. What is maybe one place that you haven't been to yet that you know, through maybe the Wet Fly Swing or just your own personal adventures that, hey, before I get done fishing, I've got to do this.
Yeah. For salt specifically.
Well, it could be anything, but.
Anything. Yeah. I mean, there's just so many, you know, I mean, I think I'd love to go in Florida and try to get into like a Grand Slam or whatever, you know, that'd be fun to try to get that going. All the stuff in South America, you know, all that. I would love to get an Atlantic salmon. I still haven't. So there are some opportunities for Atlantic salmon. That's another big one I would love to get because that's very similar to steelhead. You know, those are probably the top. I think all that stuff in like Belize, you know, doing some of those trips, getting into, God, there's just so much. All, I mean, if you think extreme all the way across into Europe and the Seychelles, you know, I mean, I've heard about that. We've done episodes on the Seychelles and it sounds like that's one of those places just so remote. You know, there's just so many fish. So I don't know. So a permit, of course, is for sure on top of the list with, you know what I mean? Like those top 10, that one's in there. You know, all the tiger, all the crazy fish, the vampire fish, the all that stuff, right? I would love to go to Africa and just go like, let's do it, you know, 2 months in Africa. I mean, I've been watching some of these, again, I've been on this documentary kick, but here's again on the podcast, just so people know, it's not all fly fishing. So I've got Ernest Hemingway. I've got the biographer of Ernest Hemingway coming on. He just wrote this book and because I watched this documentary on Ernest Hemingway and I was like, wow, this guy is amazing, you know? And so he's coming on to tell the story of this guy, but you know, there's all these stories about Hemingway and some of these old time guys that were fishing for these giant fish right out there. And so people are doing that too. They're fly fishing for marlin and, you know, and you name it. So, I mean, it's like, I've got this list of probably like 500 fish.
Yeah.
And I'm like this far into it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I feel like
I feel like you and Josh were very similar because Josh was all, you know, we interview these amazing people and some of them are in places and doing things that we've never done. And Joshua plans these trips like that we are nowhere near taking right now. So, yeah. But we got them planned. Like we know the lodges, we know where we're going to stay.
Yeah,
we're looking at flights and where we're going.
I mean, if Dave and I had a dinner and some after hours together at like a restaurant, we could just, we would have a year's worth of a flight. We just need a couple investors, Dave, and we'd be good to go.
Exactly. That's what we need. We need some more cash flow.
There you go. So man, were gracious enough to have us on your show. We talked about this a little bit, but we do always want to on this show and what makes our show special is any of the guests we have them talk about their families. And in your case, you know, you've already spoken about your relationship to your father who really got you into fishing and how special that was. But talk about your life as a dad, and how that has kind of been kind of integrated into your fishing.
I mean, I think that first of all, it's interesting because when I had you know, it's pretty funny to think back when my first child was born, I had two boats. I had a drift boat, which was this amazing drift boat, and I had an amazing I had this raft that was so dialed in, it was like the cat, it had every bell and whistle. Well, I had to sell one boat to pay for the kid being born. and I kept the drift boat.
Nice.
And I sold this raft, which was an amazing raft. So, you know, that was part of it. But again, for me, that was like not even a thing, you know, because I didn't realize it. That's a cool thing about being a dad is that I think some people don't, you know, what's the word for it? It's kind of one of those things where until you do it, you don't realize how powerful it is being a dad and like how you kind of, you know, you give up everything. You're like, okay. And I used to think like with my girls, I always think, okay, before I had kids, I was like, oh man, I can't wait. You know, a boy is going to bring the name. But as soon as my first daughter came out and then my second, you know, I've got these two amazing girls and it's not about boy, girl or anything. It's just about, I have these two amazing kids. And so, yeah, it just changed everything. And I realized that even though I'm not perfect as a dad, you know, I love them, you know, so much. And, you know, everything I do is for them, right? I'm always thinking about how do I be a better dad, right? I mean, that's the ultimate thing. And so I think one thing that I've learned is that, you know, my dad gave me the outdoors And I think that's something that, you know, we've given them, and they love the outdoors. So I feel like the more that we're outdoors, the better it's going to be. But it hasn't been easy. You know, I mean, obviously kids, I mean, they're right now, they're 9 and 11, you know, this as well as I do, man, it can be tough, right? You get some of the neighbor kids around that are, you know, maybe not the best influences and stuff like that. And you start to have to think about decisions on, okay, you know, well, maybe I got to do some things here. And so, yeah, being a dad is probably one of the hardest things I'd say you could do to be a good dad. But I think it's the most rewarding. That's what we all know, right? Yeah. And so I don't know. That's my little take on it. But yeah, they're great.
That's awesome, man. So have you had the opportunity, you know, they know dad's big into fly fishing, big into the outdoors. You said your biggest gift you've given them is the outdoors. How have you gone about doing that?
You know, we do these river trips. You know, we get the drift boat out and we just do multi-day trips. It's funny because I had Tim Ray Jeff finally on the podcast because, you know, with Echo, and you got to get Tim on because that guy is outstanding. I mean, he's nerdy with the fly. He broke down, but we talked about, he was really cool because he was asking me questions about family as well. And we were talking about all this stuff and, you know, we got into it, but, yeah, I mean, I actually lost track of my thought there. Maybe we can circle back. But take me back to the question. I get a little emotional when I start talking about my
for sure. No, man, I completely get that, and I appreciate it. Just what are the things that you're doing to kind of get them in the outdoors? Like you talked about your multi-day float trips. Like, what is that? I mean, I can't imagine. Yeah. So you're floating down the river with your two. Is your wife going on these trips with you?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So you got the whole family in the drift boat.
And that's why we do it. So I mentioned that to Tim. I said, yeah, we do a trip. And I said, we were just on the river for 6 days.
Wow.
And he's like, you're on the river for 6 days with a 9 and 11 year old. And this was in, you know, we've done this before where it's extreme, you know, it's the desert. So sometimes we've had this where it's like 100+ degrees and we're literally, in fact, I remember when my daughter was 6 months old, I think maybe a year, we were on another river nearby and it was one of those really extreme days. We didn't realize it was going to get so hot, but it was like 110 or something. And we were literally in the shade, kind of worried about overheating.
Yeah.
Right. It was one of those scary moments. So we pushed it, I think, you know, with our kids. They were out there at 6 months for sure camping with us. But I think that those river trips, they love, we all love them. I've always loved the river trips. Goes back to my dad. And so you get on the river for 6 days, whatever, 4 days, and you're going through remote canyon, whitewater, fishing, camping, hanging out under the stars. I mean, right. They love that. That's like their favorite thing. So I think that's one thing. We love hiking. Anything outdoors, really, you know, I mean, it's all good, but we really love hiking. We do tons of hiking. So as a family, we're always hiking. And I actually, to be honest with you, I enjoy hiking, you know, kind of equally to fishing and all the other stuff. Yeah. But yeah, that's kind of what keeps us going.
Love it. So what's your tip for all of us dads that want to do something like that, that want to get our kids out there? What would you say to a dad who's maybe wanting to try to do this, maybe for the first time, like he wants to take his kid float down a river, or just taking his kids camping? You know, what's kind of what are the big things that have helped you do that successfully?
Yeah. I guess it would depend on how old the kids are, you know, but I mean, I think you've got to obviously be careful of, you know, safety and stuff like that. But, you know, I mean, I think that, it's a tough one because I think that I've have a lot of struggles with my own, but I think not being afraid to just try something, you know, you're not just like anything, right? It might not be perfect. You know, you might go out and you might have to go home because it doesn't work out. But I think at least as long as you're trying it, and don't try to be perfect, you know, don't let perfection get in the, or don't let perfection get in the way of progress. Cause I think some people think that, hey, it's gotta be this perfect thing and everything's gotta go great, but it probably won't go great. You know, there'll probably be some things that pop up and you gotta be able to. So I think that's part of my thing is being flexible, being able to, when stuff happens, be able to adjust. That'd be my advice, is don't feel like, you know, you're perfect. And just go do it, because the more you do it, the better you're going to get at it. And the more the kids are going to like. And if you go, the earlier you go, the more you go, the more the kids get used to it, you know? Yeah. So that's my advice, that try to get out as much as you can, no matter what.
I think that's so good, man. And, you know, we talk about this a lot with a lot of our folks on our show, just kind of like that managing expectations. If you've got expectations that things are going to be perfect and everything's going to go just right. I mean, if you've hung out with a kid under 10, you know, it's not going to go as what you think it's going to be. And so you can choose, you know, are you going to let the fact that it didn't go exactly as you thought ruin the trip? Or are you going to just adjust and go on the fly? Like we talk about all the time, that the trip or whatever it is you're doing, it's the catalyst for time with your kid and being able to invest in them. It's not necessarily about what you accomplish on the trip.
Right. And the fishing too, right? Think about that for the fishing. My kids aren't like all-star fishermen. You know, they can cast a fly rod, but they're not casting a 50-foot type loop. But my whole thought is I never want to put pressure on them. They can do it. And my thought is I'm planting the seed.
Yeah.
So eventually, if they really get into it, then they get into it, you know, but I know they're going to probably always love the outdoors. And that's my main concern. I don't really care if they're a professional fly fisherman at the end of the day.
Yeah. Well, I think it's something that we've learned, and it's something that we can do together. It's something that a lot of people, I mean, at least in our case, you know, my son, he's, like you said, he's not the perfect caster, but, you know, he also goes into school and talks about entomology and the different weights of fly rods, and people look at him like, what are you talking about? Like so it's something that we have. That's kind of like a special bond. Yeah. Like, he's got this thing that maybe other people don't have that's kind of cool that he can talk about. Well, you know, like, Dad, I think we should get a 9-weight because we're going to do this. You know, right. Like, he's – and that's awesome. Really cool when you start having those conversations at that point is. And stuff. Dave, you do so much, man, and you're so passionate. And if you could just speak, maybe, because we always like to talk about this in our show, you know, talk about how you are passionate about being a father, you're passionate about doing what you do with the wet fly swing. Just what just drives, kind of just keeps pushing you with that passion. You have a love for life. You can tell in the way you talk to people and just meeting me and Caleb and befriending us and mentoring us.
Yeah.
Just what kind of drives that for you, buddy?
Man, these are, you know, that's another good one. I mean, God, what drives it? I think that, you know, I think that it probably does come down. I haven't really thought about this much, but it probably does come back to the kids, you know, because I think a part of this is what I'm doing. There is a business here. You know, I mean, there is a business, and part of that is you know, success there, right? Making sure that, you know, that is going well, right? That part of it. So I think that that's something that definitely drives me to make sure that I keep, you know, that part going strong. But I also love the outdoors. You know, I just love the more I feel like this is something that, you know, again, I always think of the hunting example. I probably wouldn't be a hunter right now. My guess is if my dad didn't give me hunting. So when I was a little kid, we deer hunted, you know, and elk hunted, and I still do it to this day, and I love it. Right. And so I feel like I have a passion for deer hunting. And so, you know, I think, I don't know. I mean, it's this thing, the outdoors, right? There's like all this, like I said, Hemingway, all these people, there's something about nature, that visceral thing that connects you to nature, and you want to keep it going. I mean, I have family members, you know, my brothers, I've got three older brothers, and you talk about family, you know, I mean, you know, one of them struggling, you know, really, you know, and not doing a lot outdoors. Right. And I have a, you know, so it's one of those things where I think I understand, I feel like I'm in a place right now where I put a lot of hard work into it to get to where I am. And I don't want to let that fail. Although I do feel like another, I always think of my quotes, but I feel like, you know, those that fail most win is another quote I love to think about, because I think that we're all going to fail and stumble along the way. But I just feel like I keep on it, because I know that if I stay in the game, the chances are I'm going to be successful. And I want to keep doing this stuff that we're talking about here, which is fishing, traveling, getting the family out as much as possible, right? All that stuff. And I don't know. I feel grateful. I'm grateful for where I'm at. You know what I mean? I think I see a lot of bad stuff around the world. So I'm happy that, you know, that I'm here talking to you guys.
Yeah, man. What a great way to look at it, of all the things that are going on in the world, you know. And you can turn on the Wet Fly Swing and you can listen to an episode, pick any one of them, you know, go back and it's going to probably make you laugh, and some of them are going to make you smile, and there's some that'll, you know, move you to more emotions. And I've listened to some of your shows that, you know, you really do get deep with these people and you talk, and that's kind of what's been great about your show. I think you're very professional, but you also have this way about your episodes and your interview style that's very casual, and it makes the listener feel like they're connected. And I know that's done that for me. And, you know, I listened to your show long before we ever had our show, and it's been great to hear and great to follow you and great to see what you're doing. Congratulations and on getting close to your 500th episode, and also for all that you're doing in your podcast space and through the Wet Fly Swing show, not just the podcast, but everything you guys are doing. And You know, me and Caleb always want to support you guys here at Dads on the Fly. We appreciate what you do, and we've sent people your way before, and we will continue to do so. Before we wrap this up, is there anything that maybe our listeners, we've mentioned the wetflyswing.com, and you know, you can find your show pretty much anywhere, just wetflyswing with a Google search or a podcast search on all your platforms. But is there anything else you would want to tell maybe the listeners that just about the Wet Fly Swing or what you got coming up?
Yeah, I think I will leave it just at, if anybody wants to, you know, we would definitely appreciate subscribing to the show. That's one way to help grow the show. So I put out a link out there, wetflyswing.com/dads, DADS. So that's what we could talk about that. But that just redirects over to our place that they can subscribe really easy. And I was kind of thinking of a way we can provide some value. And one thing I thought about is that, you know, if somebody wanted to reach out, you know, click that subscribe button and then reach out to me by DM on social. If they send me a message, I will find a way to get that person if they reach out to me on the podcast in some form or fashion. I'm working on a 500th episode, and my thought was I want to do some sort of a listener connection or some sort of a, I don't even know exactly what it is, but I'm going to throw that out there right now. So if anybody wants to reach out, give us a follow, subscribe to the show, and then send me a DM and let me know you found us through Dads, and that'd be awesome. But if not, just have a listen. And I appreciate you guys too for what you're doing. This is amazing.
Well, thanks, Dave. It's been so great having you on, and thanks for sharing the story about the Wet Fly Swing podcast. And thanks, man, for just being transparent and let us know about everything going on. And we're excited to see where the future goes with it.
Love it, guys. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, man. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Dads on the Fly podcast. We hope this episode has inspired you as a parent or an angler.
If you've enjoyed this episode, please check us out at dadsonthefly.com. There you can subscribe to our email list and find out all the things we got going on here at Dads on the Fly.